Turn again in God's Word, and this time to the Old Testament, we're going to turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we're going to turn to the section Shin, which is 161, verse 161. The second to last section, Psalm 119. And verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee, because of thy righteous judgment. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Amen. Let's ask the Lord's help as we come to consider his word this evening. Lord, we come again into thy presence to ask for thy help in time of need. We pray, Lord, for thy grace, for thy help in considering your word. May it find a resting place in our heart, and may thy name be glorified in all that is said, that it might be from thee, that thy Holy Spirit himself might come and impress these things upon our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. We come to consider this evening a verse in the longest psalm in the Bible, that of course being Psalm 119. As well as being the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible, it is also significant for both its alphabetical form in having these sections after the Hebrew alphabet, and for the fact that every verse has a mention or reference to the Word of God. So for that reason, in taking any verse from this psalm as a text, it is pretty much a given that at least part of the subject, if not the main focus, will be God's word, God's law. So in this case, I hope that we can derive this encouragement from and hunger for the word of God this evening and know the blessing of God upon us as we consider his word. The verse that I want to consider with you tonight is verse 165. And there we read, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." There's a little more we need to say by way of introduction that I have not already said. So let's quickly proceed to consider our subject this evening, which I summarize as the blessings derived from the love of God's word. The blessings derived from the love of God's word. So considering this verse and the words here, we can be brief and move quickly to the lessons that we should take from the word of God. For the words here are beautiful in their simplicity, but yet profound in the assurance that they engender in those who hear them and understand. And so let's consider the following then. The first thing that we want to consider concerning these words is the peace available. The peace available. The words communicate to us this peace as their subject. Great is the peace that they shall have. Great peace have they. The word peace here is a well-known Hebrew word, a word that I would suspect almost everybody here would know. It is, of course, the word used in greeting by Jews even today, shalom. And we see the word used commonly in the Old Testament, 237 times in all. And it is used, as I say, as a greeting. Indeed, it is used by the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way when after his resurrection, he appears in the upper room in the midst of his disciples and says unto them, "Peace be unto you." And the Old Testament has many occurrences of the word used in this way. The word has the idea of welfare or completeness. And it was also common in the Old Testament to ask after the peace of one another, as a way of asking how a person was, their circumstances. If you turn, and do turn please, to Genesis 43 and verse 27 to observe these, the way it is used there, you'll see there that same word used. Genesis 43 and verse 27. We have here Joseph having revealed himself to his brothers, and he says to them, and he asked them of their welfare. And if you have a margin, you will see the word for welfare is the word shalom. And so he asks after their welfare. He asks after their peace. And so it's translated welfare there as Joseph asks after his brothers and his father after revealing himself to them. And a similar example is also seen in Exodus 18 and verse 7. And so we have also the peace then that is mentioned here. It is the welfare or the completeness of a person, their situation in a positive sense. There is also in the Old Testament the use of this word which shows the source of peace. With Gideon in Judges 6 and verse 24, we find him building an altar and calling the name of it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. The Lord himself then, as the Old Testament teaches us, is the source of peace. Jehovah Shalom. In this particular verse in Psalm 119, we see this peace as a possession. This is meant in all of its senses that we've considered already. It is a peace that can be had in the midst of all troubles. The word great is added, for this is not just a regular amount of peace, but it is great peace. The idea of the word great is plenitude. It can be translated as many. And so this peace is plentiful to the person who possesses it. It is a holy serenity then. It is the peace of God which passeth all understanding. It is an unquantifiable satisfaction and the pleasure of contentment. It is a knowledge of completion, of unshakable sureness, of welfare, of completeness. A holy security which causes the soul of the possessor to be unperturbable, confident and collected. That is what is meant here by great peace. And the verb to have is important here. And I draw attention to it, although perhaps it is obvious. But the point is that it is available. This great peace is possessable. It is obtainable. It is something that may be enjoyed here and now. At this time, in this place, in whatever circumstances. It is not some abstract thing that may perhaps be conceived of, but not experienced. It is a possessable thing. Great peace have they. These words describe the state of a certain type of people. Great peace have they. There is a particular group of people who possess this great peace. This great peace is possessable. This peace which finds its source in the Lord, who is our peace. Jehovah Shalom. So let us continue then to further consider the passion that is required. Passion required. The class of people who are described here as possessing this great peace are those who love thy law. They are those who love the law of God. That is to say, they love the word of God, the testimonies of the Lord, his precepts, his ways. Note the passion that is required then. To love the law of God. Great peace have they which love thy law. This is important to distinguish. I use the word passion for a reason. The verse does not say, great peace have they which keep thy law. It says, they which love thy law. That's an important distinction to make. There are none that can perfectly keep the law of God, but there are those that love the law of God. There are those who love his word. There are those who pursue his ways. And the word love carries with it, of course, a sense of desire. Desire after the word is described here then in those who possess this great peace. They are those who desire after the law of God. Note that they are not merely respectful of the law of God either. It goes further than mere respect. It goes further than mere fondness. It goes further than having an understanding even of it. It is further than that. No, they love it. They desire it, and it is pleasant to them. Just as verse 103 of this very psalm says, they say, these who have this great peace, they say, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And they are those who are striving to walk in obedience to the word, always desiring to understand it. They are found reading it often, making God's word the mainstay of their lives. These are those who resort continually to reading the Bible. They find comfort in it continually. They love the law of God. These men and women, and any whoever it may be who has real and genuine and consistent peace as described here, that serenity of soul and contentedness in the midst of whatever might be, these are those who have a consistent love for God's word. As the New Testament states, godliness with contentment is great gain. And so this peace then does not proceed from slavish observance of the law, but from faith. From a faith that brings about love and desire for a thing. It is not merely a mental understanding of the thing. There is a passion required here in order to obtain this peace that's made available. A faith that finds satisfaction in the word of God and finds the word of God to be sweet to the soul. That is what is described here concerning those who have this great peace. And then thirdly, we see also the preservation affirmed. The last part of the verse seals the truth up tight. And nothing shall offend them. Now, the word offend does not have the meaning or connotation, really, that is commonly ascribed to it now. It does not mean something offensive to a person's particular sensitive feelings. Rather, it means, of course, to cause to stumble. Nothing shall cause them to stumble or to fall. Nothing shall injure them. The Lord Jesus said that offenses must come, but those who love God's law shall not be offended by them. They are preserved from real harm, and the inward peace that they are afforded will not be disturbed. Offenses may come, obstacles may arise. There may be those who oppose, those who hate, but those who love God's law will not be affected by them. They neither give nor take offense. They are content and serene in mind and spirit. They are those who have this great peace because they love God's law. Men in this world are cursed with never-ending troubles. And often those troubles are brought about by their own sin and depravity. And all of the distresses that come upon the mind, times of despair and of depression, which creep upon the souls of men and do so, can all be designated under the term of offences, those things which cause disquiet within the mind. What miseries mankind heaps to themselves, tormenting their own minds, their own sin, their own depravity, through seeking satisfaction in anything else but the word of the Lord and He Himself. There is no peace for men and women in this world except that which is derived from the blessing comes from the word of God. And all of the torments and despair that come upon those who are faithless cannot and do not touch those who love the word of God. That is what we are being taught here by these simple words. The ungodly rage against the word, and they cast God's truth aside in preference to their own love of a lie. And so they gain their reward. But to those who love the word of God, nothing shall offend them. Not a thing. They are preserved then by virtue of God's grace, which comes by means of his word. by a commitment and devotion to and a desire after the Word of God, which is freely available. What simple and straightforward words these are. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So we can come, having very simply considered these words, let's endeavour to learn from the Word of God this evening and take such comfort as is presented to us here. The Lord's Day has been called by the Puritans in the past, the market day for the soul. So we take food for our bodies, we must ensure that we also take food for our soul that will last us the week. Let's consider then the things from these words that we've looked at this evening. First of all, consider this. What a blessing the peace and preservation of God is for our souls in the midst of this world. What a lack of peace there is in this world. What a lack of contentment and of satisfaction. What a lack of grace and holiness. This world lacks much. This world has so little to give. Yet it is a fact that we, even as Christians, constantly and consistently seek peace in this world. There is, for those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, so often a dissonance between what we believe and know to be true about this world and how we act toward the world. We know, as believers, that there is no satisfaction here. And yet we live as if there were satisfaction nowhere else but here. But to the contrary, here in this old earth that will soon pass away is actually nothing but pain and misery. Here in this text we see the source of true peace, of lasting peace, of great peace. And we seek refuge in riches. We seek comfort in luxury and ease. We seek security in our status and in what we own. And we seek satisfaction in our circumstances and happiness. And yet we have the Word of God. How misguided we are at times as the Lord's people. That we misplace our love and desire. That we are taken up with the mundane and base things and miss all of the heavenly glory and peace that we could easily have if we but lifted up our eyes from the muck to consider what provision the Lord has made for us in his word. It is quite stark to consider when we consider our own place sometimes. Perhaps you're in a place such as that this evening, a place of unhappiness, place of distress because of circumstances. And circumstances do affect us because we are in the flesh, and so all of our senses are engaged consistently in this world. And so that which happens around us affects us emotionally, physically, mentally. We must take a step backwards as the people of God and consider the truth. So consider this evening what a blessed provision is made for you that you may go and take of. What a blessing the great peace and preservation of God is for our souls, even in the midst of this world. And this brings to mind a scene from the second part of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, one of my favourite scenes, a very short scene. As Christiana, who is the wife of Christian from the first part, visits the house of the interpreter and sees the various scenes that her husband had seen before, we read this done, and after those things had been somewhat digested by Christiana and her company, the interpreter takes them apart again and has them first into a room where was a man that could look no way but downwards, with a muck rake in his hand. And there stood also one over his head with a celestial crown in his hand, and proffered him that crown for his muckrake. But the man did neither look up nor regard, but raked to himself the straws, the small sticks, and the dust of the floor. This is when we are taken up with the things of this world. This is us. We are preoccupied with this world. This peace of God is available to us if we but lift up our heads from the muck. Are you caused to stumble? Do you despair in your heart? Do you hate the world but simultaneously seek your joy in it? Then do so no more. For those who love God's law shall have great peace. Seek God in his word. You will then have peace. And even more, nothing shall offend you. Consider secondly how we may practically exercise ourselves in the love of God's word. It is useful to have direct instruction in these things. We have concluded that this text teaches us that in order for us to have this great peace, we must love God's word. But what does that look like when at work practically? Well, first of all, we will delight in God's word. Do you delight in God's word this evening? Of course, loving a thing means we delight in it. We love God's word, then we delight. We find pleasure in it. Especially in these days when there are so many conveniences. There are many things to delight in. There are many things to find pleasure in. Many things that we might value highly and count as having great worth. But do you, Christian, this evening, delight in God's word? Ask yourself earnestly the question, is it a joy to you to have God's word read in your hearing? Is it a joy to you to think upon the words of God? And when you remember them, do they fill your heart with pleasure at the thought of reading God's word? Or are such thoughts far, far from your mind when you think upon God's word? Do you highly esteem it as what it is? It is God's word. It is a delight and it is a mercy to us that the Lord has made provision of and preserved through generations. Do you, when coming home after a hard day of work or from whatever has taken up your time, look forward to reading God's word as a sustenance to your soul, as a thing which will preserve us in the midst of trouble? Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Is that something that we can honestly say of ourselves as we consider God's word? Are we those who love it? Let us answer honestly and consider. Then secondly, you'll read God's word. Having a delight and a desire for God's word is one thing. And it is possible to have positive feelings about the Bible, to delight in it in a sense. But if you truly and really love God's word, then you will, of course, read it. Perhaps you will not know it well. Perhaps you have not been reading it for long. But you will read it. And we can all theoretically delight in God's word and say how much we love it. But we do actually need to read it. Perhaps this is just a thing peculiar to me. But there are times after a long day where the idea of reading the Bible is a nice one. But for some reason or other, tiredness or something that needs to be done, I don't actually get round to it. What use was it that I liked the idea of it, that I, in theory, delighted in it? I gained nothing from just the idea of it. We need to read God's word, starting off practically to read God's word, even if it's just a few verses or a chapter. This is how we derive from it this great peace which we read of here. When we have peace, we must read God's word. Then also we can exercise ourselves in the love of God's word by studying God's word. It's important for us to meditate in and understand God's word. And that's what we're doing now. And I hope we're deriving comfort and direction from it. When we understand it, when we believe it, that is when we gain this great peace and become those whom nothing shall offend. Taking a book of the Bible and seeking to understand it. Taking some verses and dwelling upon them and considering them. To understand particular doctrines perhaps, or truths which are a comfort to our soul. If we do that, then we will show our love for God's word and so derive this great peace and be those whom nothing shall offend. We gain this great perspective on the world. And so we gain great peace. Then thirdly, consider this, that love of this world brings only vexation of soul. 1 John 2 and verses 15 to 17 say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This life is full of vexation of spirit. As Ecclesiastes says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. All the works that are done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Wars without, fighting within. The world and our own flesh conspire against us to cause us to stumble, to cause us to despair, to take away our peace, to cause us to cease to fight, and to cease to war against them. Yet here is a promise, nothing shall offend them. Are you feeling vexed of soul under the offence of the world and your own flesh this evening? Then seize hold of this, nothing shall offend them. All things work together for good to them that love God. Nothing shall offend or hurt them. Those who love God and his word may be content in all things. No matter how upsetting or vexatious the world can be to our souls, a holy peace and serenity reigns in the hearts of those who love God's word, and it cannot be taken from them, for nothing shall offend them. Their mind cannot be easily disquieted as those of the world can. Those who have no love for or desire to read God's word, those who fear the Lord, evil tidings, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And so, even in the midst of a world that is full of vexation, we can turn to God's word, away from the world. Perhaps that is something that there are those here this evening need to do. And lastly, consider this, that the peace and preservation seen here are foreshadowing of our final peace. Here is a blessed thing. Throughout this life, we may trust in the word of the Lord, and so even in the midst of strife, have that great peace that is described here, and this preservation, this welfare of heart, this completeness, this contentedness, this serenity, even in the midst of strife. And such great peace and preservation it is that nothing shall offend them. But yet even still there are greater things yet to come. For when this life is over, then the peace we shall have will truly pass all understanding. It cannot be conceived of. We will be with him who is the Prince of Peace and be preserved forever from all harm and all vexation of spirit. When we die and go to be with him, we will then know such peace as we cannot comprehend now. Allow that truth to wash over you and your mind this evening. Dwell upon it. Think of the most peaceful moments of your life. And then multiply them 1,000-fold. And yet still you are not even approaching the peace that you will know when you go to be with him. There is no comfort like this. There is certainly none in this world. And so for this time, think upon these things. Think upon eternity, where there will be no pain, no trouble, no trial, no disquieting of the mind, no distress, no despair. What a blessing it is that the Lord gives us a foretaste of that in this world. That we might have an inkling of what it is to be at peace, finally, even now upon this earth. And that he has given us his word in the reading of it. And trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can taste of that great peace and rest. Indeed, we have a taste of it as we come aside from the world on the Lord's day, for it is a day of rest. And yet, we neglect God's word, despite the fact he's provided this foretaste. Let us take it up and love it. these words, this simple verse, dwell in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. May they not depart from us. What a blessed formula this is for us to consider. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Let this be our strength this evening and in all the days to come. Let us ensure that we indeed love and dwell upon the word of God, which brings such peace to our souls. There is no need for doubt. There is no need for despair. Let nothing offend you, but the love of our Lord and the desire after the sustenance of his word dwell in our hearts. We should be as the good ground. The word of God is received and brings forth fruit, some 100, and some 60, and some 30-fold. May the Lord grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen.